Hallelujah. Standing on the promises. I come before you this morning in all honor and all praise to Almighty God, who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Minister Riley, Brother McMillan, my lovely wife, beautiful, beautiful church family. It's an honor, a privilege, and as always, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. Speak, Lord, for someone is waiting. Speak, Lord, for someone is in need.
Jesus.
Speak, Lord, for someone needs to hear a word. Speak, Lord. Use me, Lord. Do with me what you wish, Lord, but use me to speak a word. Lord, we're waiting for you. For we know that until you come, there's nothing that can be said. There's nothing that we can do. So speak, Lord. Let your Holy Ghost have his way. Take control right now. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This morning, there is a word from the Lord. It's been a trying word. I was not real sure where I was going with this, but again, all of the pieces and parts started to come together as the day went on. And I often wonder who it is that God is trying to speak to. And many times it's me, many times it's someone else, but when you never know who God's gonna send, and you never know why, but God knows.
Oh yes, yes he does.
So it's not for us to try to figure out what God is doing, it's for us to do as God tells us to do. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. Start with the first verse. It reads thus. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. If you jump down to verse 13, It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I want to use as an overall topic, maybe other sermons to follow this or Bible studies or something, but I found myself writing that at the top of this, you know, notes here. Let's get real about it.
All right.
And that will be, like I said, an overall theme. But this morning, I want to ask you a question. And that question is, does your plan for your time start with hope? Does your plan for your time start with hope? David Guzik, in his commentary on this particular scripture, 1 Peter 1, he entitles it, Living Like You Are Born Again. This scripture, when Peter addresses the people in Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia, what he's doing is, these are the places that Christianity had spread up until that time. So this was the beginning of the church. So in essence, what he was doing, he was speaking to all Christians. And certainly that would expand to us at this day and time, because we fall into that fold. So he's speaking to all Christians. That third to the fifth verse, I think, is worth reading again, and then I'll proceed. But it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Does your plan for your time start with hope? If we look at, it's three words in there that I feel like worthy to be called to your attention. We may want to call them concepts, but we want to focus on the word time, the word plan, and the word hope. So time, Ecclesiastes 3:1 perhaps gives us the right perspective on the concept of time. It says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. So season means a period of time, and time means a point on a chronological indicator. So Solomon seems to be saying, every activity of mankind has a proper time and a predetermined duration. Our lives will be a lot less stressful if we recognize that the omniscient hand of God has appointed a time when things are to be done.
That's right.
And he has a predetermined duration for those things to last. When you look at plans, and when I say plans, I want you to think here first, the plans of man. When we start to plan, what we're going to do, what we wish to accomplish, what we even want somebody else to do, We think in terms of how long it will take to do something.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Or we think, how much can we do in the time we have? Mm-hmm. That's what you, when you're doing your project planning, you consider those two things. How long does it take to do a good job? If we did everything right, it takes this long, but we only have this much time, so we can only do this much. And it's another thing about the plans of man. Our plans are never guaranteed. Is that right? I don't care how careful and meticulous we are, our plans are never guaranteed. And when I was studying, I ran over this poem that I'm sure everybody's heard a thousand times, that from Robert Burns. The poem that was titled "A Poem to a Mouse," and it tells how while plowing a field, he upturned a mouse's nest, and the poem that he wrote was an apology to the mouse. And I'm sure you've all heard it, but it goes like this part. It says, "But Mousie, you aren't alone. Improving foresight may be vain. The best laid schemes of mice and men often go awry and leave us naught but grief and pain." That's where the plans of man goes. We try to plan things out and we do the best that we can, but they often, our best laid plans sometimes go awry. It's because we don't have anything guaranteed.
Yes.
Yeah, when we look at hope, mm-hmm. the hope of God is something, some things about the hope of God. Number one, that the hope of God is God's will.
All right.
Another thing about hope in God is that all time belongs to God.
That's right.
Another thing about hope in God is that it's always guaranteed. Mm-hmm. God's plan cannot fail.
That's right.
Time. Do you even know what time is? I want you to think with me this morning. See, many would try to sneak a peek at their watch when I say, "What time is it?"
Right.
Some would think about a calendar. He may be talking about what month it is. July 17, 2016, you might think, when you think about time. And you might even go deeper, and you might start thinking that it's the 21st century. But the scripture that we read this morning seems to indicate that our hope in Christ will come at the last time. That's what the scripture says. Time. Is time an amount of something? Or is time a chronological indicator? Should I use it as if I got a lot of it? Or should I use it like I'm running out of it? Some people might say that I'm still young. I got a lot of time, got plenty of time. While others might say I don't have time to do the things that I want to do. Mm-hmm. Well, if the truth be told, all that anyone really knows about time is that it is fleeting.
All right, then.
Is that right? The only time that's guaranteed and usable is now.
Yes.
See, you can say my time is guaranteed that I've already had. I've had 66 years worth of time that is guaranteed because I've already lived it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do nothing with it.
Right.
Because it's behind me, and I certainly can't do anything with the time that's in front of me because it's not promised to me.
All right now.
So the only real time I have is now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
What time is it? What time is it? Depends on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's different times and different places.
Mm-hmm.
But it's now, mm-hmm, everywhere. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 90 says the first verse that starts it gives us probably the best biblical perspective of time. This psalm is the only one attributed to Moses, and it compares how man and God view time and life.
Mm-hmm.
Moses concludes that man and God look at time from entirely different perspectives. It is this difference in point of view that makes a huge difference in how we conduct our lives.
All right.
So what's our goal? It's our plans or hope in God's plans? Let me say that again. So what is our goal? The goal that we're looking for, our plans,
mm-hmm,
or hope in God's plan? It depends on how you view time.
Mm-hmm.
Are we more interested in prosperity than we are posterity? Let that sink in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That would have to sink in on me. I was walking yesterday. That had to sink in on me. But are we more interested in prosperity than we are posterity? Are we more interested in me than we are in thee? What time is it?
All right.
Do I have enough time to work my plan? Or is it time for me to turn my focus to hope in God's plan? Matthew 16. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. What time is it? He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather.
Right.
For the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, O ye hypocrites,
mm,
you can discern the face of the sky,
yeah,
but cannot ye not discern, mm-hmm, the signs of the time? What time is it?
Mm-hmm.
What time is it? 2 Timothy 3 says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come.
Perilous, uh-huh.
For men shall be lovers of them own selves.
Mm.
Donald Trump, I don't say that.
Perilous times.
I didn't say that.
Yes, sir. So,
covetousness, boasters,
mm-hmm,
proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents.
Oh, yes.
Unthankful. Unholy.
Jesus.
Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For this is the sort which are that which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. What time is it? What time is it? The scripture there in Timothy says that the last days there will be perilous,
perilous times.
Mm-hmm. This word perilous has the idea of troubles and difficulty and stressful situations. The sort of atmosphere will mark the last days. I don't know about you, but when I sit at home and sometimes turn on the TV, every time I turn it on, there's something that's going on that I say, man, the world is out of control. And I said, nothing else like this could possibly happen. It's going to the absolute worst, and I turn on the TV and something will top that.
Mm-hmm.
It's perilous times. It's and we look at it and everybody says they got the solution, but no one has the solution. You look at it and you say it is out of control. What time is it? So the question says, are we in the last day? Well, I don't know. I don't know about the last days or whether we're in them or not. But I do know that we're in perilous times. So whether we're in the last days or not, there's some things that we need to do now. We need to get our spiritual house in order.
All right now. Yes,
and we need to do it now. Why do we have to do it now? Because now is the only time that we are guaranteed. Yes. Is now. Some may call what I'm preaching this morning an idealistic view. That's what we like to call it. Now when we start doing what God is commanding us to do, we like to call it idealistic and say, nobody is achieving what you were preaching this morning, but God calls us to do it, and he calls us to do it now.
Now.
Number one, as individuals, we need to look into every nook and cranny of our own lives and clean it up.
Jesus.
And become separated to the Lord.
Amen.
Get your house in order and do it now. And then as a church, we need to be sure to get ourselves totally separated from every worldly influence, and that we stay separated unto the Lord. It is my desire to do what God calls me to do. So whether we're in the last days or not, if we're not careful, we'll be sucked into the world's mentality.
All right.
Whatever the mentality of the times. If you're not on Facebook, you ain't with it.
Say so.
I'm not with it. What time is it? It depends on where you are and whether you're looking at your watches. But regardless, it's now everywhere. Particularly when you're looking at your soul.
Yes, sir.
And where you might spend eternity.
Yes.
So what time is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's time to wake up. It's time to be real about your walk with the Lord. It's time to be reborn again.
Yes.
If you have not been reborn, it's time to be reborn again. If you have been reborn, it's time to be about your Father's business.
Yes. Now time.
Mm-hmm. What time is it? It's praying time.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody ought to tell this nation that we live in, it's praying time. It's not about what President Obama can do and whether Hillary can clean it up or whether Trump can clean it up. It's time to be praying.
Oh, yes.
Because we're out of control. It's
Jesus.
Mm.
Let's keep it real. Nobody expected Turkey to be in the turmoil to this end. Nobody even understands what's going on over there, but God.
But God.
It's praying time.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but it's my plan that my hope in God will enable me to do His will. Because
mm-hmm.
He's got the only sure plan. Hallelujah. Hope in God is just the opposite of the plans of man.
All right then.
You see, all of our plans should always start with our hope in God.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you something. I'm gonna stop shortly. When Jesus spoke to his own disciples, the apostles, the ones that's closest to him, concerning his mission on earth, Peter, who was the leader of the disciples, rebuked him.
Yeah.
When Jesus said, "Here is why I was sent here," Peter said, "No, no, no, that's not, you can't possibly be going to the cross. What are we going to do with you, our leader, is going to the cross?" He rebuked him.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus turned to him and said, "Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man." So even his closest disciples, when they thought they were doing the right thing, if you're not careful, your focus is on what I want.
Okay.
And not what God wants. Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me."
Follow me.
Focus should be on God. But the plans of man are in opposition to our hope in God.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 8:7 says, "Because the carnal mind is enemy to God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." The plans of man are in opposition to our hope in God.
Yes.
Matthew 22:37 says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind."
Mm-hmm.
But the plans of man are in opposition to our hope in God. Then a familiar scripture, Romans 12:2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Let's be real about it. Are we ready to do what God calls us to do. Are we ready to teach our children to do what God calls them to do? That's when you get to whether I'm real or not. What am I ready to teach my child? What did I do when I asked my own grandchild when he said, I want to be fully Christian? You know what it means to be fully Christian? Do you know what it means to be fully Christian? That says, I, for God I live.
Oh, yes, sir.
For God I'll die. It's not about us with lip service saying what we will do, because us as adults, we know that you can say whatever you want to say. But what will you teach your children is what you believe. What time is it? Be not conformed to this world. But the sure guaranteed plan of God, listen to it. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied.
Peace be multiplied.
Yes, Lord.
The songwriter says, peace be still. Whatever you're going through.
Yes.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten unto us a lively hope. You see, when my hope is in Jesus, no matter what I'm going through, my ups and my downs, if my hope is in Jesus, I know that my hope is eternal.
That's right.
To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fade not away, that reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness. You may be going through something. But if your hope and your faith is in Jesus, you don't have to worry about it.
That's right.
As Christians, as this unit, as this body right here, we should not be walking around moping and groping and going through. We ought to have hope in the midst of the storm.
Yes, yes.
When total chaos is going on in the world, everything is out of control, we ought to be able to walk with a smile on our face, because my hope is in God. Do your plans for your time start with hope? Or have you got it all planned out? What I'm going to do when I hit 50.
All right.
When I'm going to retire, and how I'm going to retire, and where I'm going when I retire. Did it start with God? Because the best laid plans, and I don't want you to get me wrong, you should have plans. The old saying goes, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. So you ought to have plans, but they ought to start with hope in God. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that's to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. No matter what happens, come November, no matter what happens and who's in office, remember this.
Oh,
That no one will be in office that God does not allow to be there. And your hope is not in Hillary. Your hope is not in Trump. Your hope is in God.
Amen.
And you should tell the world,
Jesus,
everybody you meet, my hope is in God. When they ask you why you walking around, everybody else got their head hung down and how things turn out, but your hope is in God. So I'm not worried about who's going to be put where. As long as my hope is in God.
All right.
And because my hope is not in prosperity, and I'm concerned with posterity, I'm going to make sure my children's hope is in God. Because I, for one, believe that God is truly the way. I'm going to leave you with the question I started with. Is your plan for your time starting with hope in God? Is your plan for your time starting with hope in God? Let us pray. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, sir, God.
Thank you, Lord, for the question. Thank you, Lord, for being the answer.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for being there when we call on you, Lord, and for being there when we turn and go the other way. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are. Thank you, Lord, for being patient with us. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name.
Yes, sir, God.
It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.